Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Well, guys, it is cold and flu season, as I'm sure so many of you know. Unfortunately, Megan is out today, but our girl, Sarah, she's hopping on the mic, and she's going to come through and save us.
I'm not as cute as Megan, but I will try my hardest to live up to her cuteness and her smarts.
I just need the emotional support today. I just cannot do it alone. I'm afraid I'm going to be coming down with some kind of illness soon. So, like, thank you for stepping up to the plate.
I got your back. That's what I'm here for. Producer Sarah is here for your back.
It's so true.
All right, so we are going to recap Real Housewives of New Jersey. They are still in Jamaica. Real Housewives of OC, they are still in Key West. Real Housewives of Atlanta, they are nowhere at the moment, but they are going to be going somewhere, which is something we will talk about.
That's true. Plus, we have an interview with Jennifer Aiden, and we're going to wrap it up with Rose and Thorne, as always.
But before we get started, there's been some happenings behind the scenes that I think we should discuss.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so first, Sarah and I both attended the Daily Mail holiday party, which is like a pretty hot ticket in this town. Like, yeah, everyone sort of knows there's always a ton of Bravo celebrities there, other celebrities. It's just a great party, a lot of alcohol. So we got to go. Sarah handled the red carpet, did some interviews with talent there. So who did you get to talk to on the red carpet?
Kelly Dodd was there with Rick. We got a little bit of a sneak peek as to his meeting with Jolie, which she came to New York City for 7 days. They went ice skating and went out to different restaurants and went through Central Park, which was really cute. She was really excited to see his offices because he works at Fox. I saw Leanne, all the ladies from New Jersey. So Jackie, Margaret, Melissa, Dolores.
I was like, who else was there?
And Tom Sandoval and Ariana came in right after Watch What Happens Live, which is really cool because it was just, they were continuing the party.
Now, there were some other like non-Bravo lebs in attendance. Did you get to talk to any of them? Like Food God, for example.
I didn't talk to him. His jacket was fabulous that night. He had this like very interesting patchwork leather jacket.
Yeah.
Nancy Grace was there. I directed her in the right area as to how to exit the red carpet. So that was my interaction with her.
I saw her hair. That was hard to miss.
Yes. Very big. Dr. Oz was there.
He looks very good.
He looks great.
I will say for his
How old
age.
Is he? Do
I don't know. I don't care because I think he's quite handsome.
There was a bunch of really pretty models there. And Nelly, he smelled delicious.
Did he?
Oh my God. He was in head to toe Dolce & Gabbana with, which I have to guess were Louboutin sneakers. But he smelled, as soon as he walked into the room, you smelled him. You were like, ooh. That has to be Nelly. God. And he thought I was a part of his team because I was standing next to his bodyguard and I was literally mimicking his bodyguard at the moment. And he was like, oh, I'm ready to go to me. And I was like, okay, yes. Like,
I cannot help you.
Yes, Mr. Nelly.
Yes, Mr. Sir Nelly, whatever Sir you Nelly. Want. Well, while you were manning the red carpet, I got to spend a little bit of time with some of our ladies, which was fantastic. So I hit the dance floor first with Leanne. She came right over to me and we started talking because we've worked together a few times. We've had her on the podcast a bunch and we'll get to this a little bit later, but it was the night before the Real Housewives of Dallas reunion. So Leanne was, needless to say, feeling a type of way that night. And she was in my ear talking about how she pretty much expected everyone to be against her and all that sort of stuff. But we'll get into that in a little bit. What impressed me about Leanne is at one point before Nelly took the stage, we were kind of on the dance floor and hanging out, dancing, whatever. And I Like It by Cardi B came on and she knew every single word of that song. And was like rapping it in my face and was like dancing around with everyone around her. And I was like, oh my God, I was like, this is impressive. So I feel like I'm so bad at remembering lyrics nowadays. Like if you play me like a Spice Girls song from the 90s, like I got you. But nowadays it takes me so much longer to learn lyrics. So I was like, good for you.
That's awesome.
Right? I was very impressed. I did see Kelly Dodd too. And she came over and she was like, oh my God. She was like, I almost hit you up because I wanted to bring Jolie into the Bravo HQ offices and like whatever. And I was like, oh my God, anytime you want. I love Jolie. We all love Jolie. Like we stand, please. anytime you want, bring her in. So we didn't get a chance to give her a tour this time around, but I told Kelly, anytime you're in New York, you let us know. I also had a moment with Margaret that I really appreciated, because at BravoCon, we were doing the on-camera interviews, and I was asking Dorinda who she thought were some of the hottest house husbands, and she somewhat unexpectedly to me answered Margaret's husband, Joe.
Ah!
And she was like, you know, he's just such a good guy. He treats Margaret so well. I really adore him. We get along so well. Like, he, to me, is like the hottest house husband just because of how much he cares about Margaret. And I was like, I need to tell Margaret this just because I have this bit of information and I think she would appreciate it. And she was so gracious. And she was like, oh, my God, I love Dorinda. She's amazing. We went on vacation with her and John. We all get along so well. Oh, I love that she loves Joe. And I heard Margaret tell Dolores the same story. So I was like, oh, I love that I was able to pass along some like nice information, you know.
I do have to say the Jersey girls are so much fun to hang out with, so much fun to interview, and so much fun to dance with. Jackie, in the middle of the night during Nelly's set, came over to me and she was like, I have to tell you, I didn't think that on a Wednesday night I'd be sitting here dancing with all of my fellow New Jersey housewives and be watching Nelly at the same time. She goes, I keep starting to look at my phone and then I look back up and I'm like, I'm listening to Nelly right now.
It's
like,
so
you are
true.
The cutest thing ever.
Nelly really turned that party up. I mean, funny that you say Jackie, too, because speaking of hot house husbands, I said to her that night, too, I was like, here's the thing. Evan is on the come up as one of the hottest house husbands,
yo,
just so you know. And she was like, oh, my God. She was like, I know, I've seen some stuff on the blogs. And, you know, she was like, in this week's episode, which was actually last week, she was like, he looks so good when he's playing with the guys and like they're all drinking together. And I was like, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I predicted this like when you joined last season that like Evan was going to be a hot house husband. And she was like, oh, my God. She was like, thank you so much. And then by the end of the night, you know, there was a lot of free liquor and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the night, Tom and Ariana did show up, so I got to hang out with them a little bit at the end. And Tom was like so excited about Nelly because he's from St. Louis and he wanted nothing more than to like meet Nelly and just like talk to him and be like, we're from the same place. Oh my God. So while he was off doing that or trying to find Nelly, I ended up talking to Ariana and we just ended up like, I saw her phone had a picture of her dog, Charlotte York,
aww,
on it. And I was like, oh my God, your dog. And she was like, isn't she so cute? And we just gushed over her dog and she showed me a bunch of dog pictures for like 20 minutes. And I was
she
like,
looked adorable.
Right. She is adorable.
She's like no bigger than my pinky.
Yeah. She and her dog are probably the same size and that's why they love each other so much. So that was pretty much the Daily Mail party. And then the next day, Megan attended the Real Housewives of Dallas reunion. So because she's out, I think we can probably recap because we had a call with her the day after and she kind of spilled a lot of the tea. So like we had said earlier on, you know, it was very much everybody against Leanne.
Yeah.
And, you know, the course of the season has kind of led us to this moment. So it's not totally surprising, but
right,
also just knowing, whenever it's like everybody against one person, I feel like that's just, it's kind of tough, I'm sure, for them to be a part of, but also to watch a little bit.
Oh, definitely.
You know?
I wonder too, I was going to bring this up earlier, what kind of headspace you must be in going into a reunion knowing that you're going to be in the hot seat.
Yeah.
Like, how are you preparing for that? How are you dealing with that the night before?
Yeah.
So I can't even imagine what Leanne must have felt like knowing that and how she prepared to be in that mindset and go to a party the night before.
I know. She did leave early, I will say. She left the party pretty early. But yeah, I mean, it must be just like the Sunday scaries times 10. Megan even teased at one point that there was some kind of prop that they used. So I'm curious to know what that was. But she said it was very kind of symbolic of how everything sort of plays out this season.
Interesting.
And there is actually a sneak peek of the Real Housewives of Dallas reunion looks on BravoTV.com. I haven't seen them yet, but you can see exactly what the ladies wore at the reunion.
So Real Housewives of New Jersey, they are still in Jamaica.
They are still in Jamaica. Okay, so beginning of the episode, I have to say, after watching last week's Dallas, where there was all of this conversation about the elephants and animals and, you know, people using them and whatnot, watching the ladies, like, with the dolphins kind of made me feel like, is this okay? Like,
yeah.
I don't know if this is okay. But it looked really fun. And I love dolphins, so I'm kind of like, maybe it is okay, and I just need to, like, move past it. And, you know, it was like, it also takes everyone out of their comfort zone. So it was cool to see Teresa being like, okay, I'm going to do it. She's always been so scared of animals, and there's that, like, flashback clip of, like, the dogs coming out, and she, like, freaks.
I'm not a fan of animals I don't know. Oh, my God! And I don't know this dolphin. I want to give it a chance, but we got to get to know each other a little bit more.
So it's good when you get to kind of challenge yourself a little bit and do something you wouldn't normally do. So I'm sure if I had the opportunity, I'd be riding a friggin' dolphin too.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about Jackie's eating habits? And I hate to necessarily bring it up, but when we had her on the show, I mean, she was sort of like, there's a difference between having a problem and then just being disciplined and knowing like exactly what you should and shouldn't be eating at any given time or whatever. So for like viewers, for us, like for you, what do you think? Is it more of the discipline thing or is there still something there?
So it's kind of comparable to depression or anxiety where, you know, if you are depressed and say you have a history with like self-harm, people are always going to be watching you and being like, oh, is that a sign of a depression?
Well, there's also the opportunity then for it to be used against you. And I think that that's something that Jackie mentioned in her interview is she knows she's been very open about her eating disorders and she's talked about it to all of the women on the show. So they're already kind of eagle eye, like to your point on like what she's doing. Whenever we get to those kind of issues, I always feel a little like icky. Like I'm always like, oh, let's just like let her live, like let her be. And like she eats the salad while she's out with Melissa, like let her live, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's a tricky situation because I don't think you're ever completely over it. You're always working to better yourself in the future and better yourself to continue down the right path. The ladies definitely have a right to be concerned, but at the same time, I think there's a point where you kind of need to step back and be like, everyone's working through their own thing and they need to be respectful and help her out positively.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And if they're going to address it, I mean, the best way would be to address it with her.
Yeah.
From a place of concern and not necessarily from a place of like, did you see that Jackie didn't eat? You know, like there's two different ways to approach that kind of situation. So I think, you know, Jennifer and other people need to just be like a little bit more aware of that.
Yes.
And maybe that's just something that they need to learn themselves.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of eating, we get a dinner between Frank and David, Dolores's two main men in her life, two of the three, I should say, because of obviously Frankie Jr. I still find it so interesting that the two of them have this like friendship. The Dolores is still living with Frank, like all of this stuff. It's just so fascinating to me.
I am obscenely fascinated by this because, I mean, as I'm sure you know too, being a product of divorce, you see your parents go through different relationships, you see their own relationship kind of change. And I know with my personal experience, my parents, they see each other when they need to see each other, but they're not living together. Right. They're not, you know, going out to eat. They're not hanging out with each other.
They're not best friends.
Yeah. They're not hanging out with each other's significant others when the other is away and asking them when they're going to get engaged.
Right.
What the commitment's like. Like that to me is so fascinating and kudos to her.
And honestly, kudos to Frank Sr. for also being on board with this and being able to have such an open conversation with David because I think he knows Dolores a lot better than David does at this point. And so for him to be like, look, I know her and I know she wants an engagement. I don't care what she says. Like she wants a commitment from you and she wants to move forward with you, but this is what she's going to require. Like I appreciate that he gives David that sort of direction because it seems like David is, you know, a little bit just going along with it. He does take his job very seriously as he should. He's a doctor, you know, like it makes sense. But I like that Frank is going to bat for Dolores and all that he's interested in is her happiness.
Yeah.
And that's, but then that brings me to the point of like, why can't they just be together then?
I know. I literally thought the same exact thing. I was like, I really do like seeing her and Frank Sr. interact with each other because I think they have such a beautiful relationship. Who does she call when she's in Jamaica when David doesn't answer? Frank.
Right.
But it does get to a point where how is he playing a role in their relationship and how is that molding the relationship either for better or for worse?
Yeah. Well, and also, does Frank have a girlfriend? Like, where is she?
Question.
And if she does exist, how does she feel about him living with Dolores? Like, it must just be like, I wonder how it works going the other way. And if it does work, I don't know. Speaking of Dolores, she had one of my favorite lines in the whole episode, and it was, a stiff dick has no conscience.
A stiff dick has no conscience.
And it was in relation to Danielle and Marty allegedly having sex again and all of it kind of exploding. Not really exploding, but, you know, they call Marty. Danielle calls Teresa. It becomes this whole thing. It's kind of crazy that Danielle is still such a huge part of the show. And she's only been in one episode this season. But she is such a conversation topic.
How could she not be a conversation topic?
True.
So question to you.
Yeah.
If you heard information about one of your friends that you're close with sleeping with their ex who happens to also be close within the group, would you ask them if they were sleeping with that person?
I don't know. I mean, it's like with Marty and Danielle, it's such a weirdly crazy complicated situation because of the way that Marty is now close with Margaret and Joe and like with Danielle being close to Teresa, which I still can't wrap my head around. It's almost like you don't want to make it your business, and it does a little bit feel like maybe Margaret is taking her relationship with Danielle and her dislike for Danielle a little bit too far. But, you know, it's also like if she's just looking out for Marty because she feels like he's getting sucked back into Danielle's world again, it's sort of like she's trying to do the right thing, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's like, I don't know if I'd want to get involved with all of that because it's like, what can you do? I mean, they had sex, they had sex. It's sort of like sex doesn't always mean it's going to go somewhere else, but I think that's what they think. That's how they think Danielle gets these men.
So what did you think about them saying that Danielle is only having sex with Marty because she wants that house?
Well, I feel like Danielle at this point maybe knows how to work Marty.
Yeah.
And maybe that is something that crossed her mind if they did actually have sex. But apparently they didn't.
Yeah.
And it's very unclear, you know, what Danielle really thinks, but it seems like Danielle was blindsided by that call and she just didn't want to get involved.
So Jennifer has her big performance that night.
Yes.
Teresa, you're hilarious. I can't, like, you're absolutely, well, by the way,
Marge got this whole new shipment of rompers to Envy.
And, oh my God, I'm so cute.
Oh my gosh, she's so good.
It's true, Melissa. You do look good. I mean, David tells me I look good all the time. Not that you would ever know because he's never around. I mean, look at me. I got two guys in my life, yet I'm always alone. Just saying. I don't know.
I just got done working out because I want my ass to be tight. Is my ass tight? Jackie's pissed off that I didn't invite her to the obstacle course. Oh, my God. I'm not obsessed with food. I don't even cook food. I am, however, obsessed with knowledge because I am up here and you are down here. I got 2 degrees and so smarter than everybody else.
Thoughts?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, it feels more like what she did was just make fun of everybody, which is exactly what a roast is. Like, she got the point of it, at least. And I think she did nail some of her lines and moments of imitating people. But maybe I'm just not amused by her. And I just, like, didn't. Like, Teresa was like, oh, my God, that was so good. And I was like, was it? Like, I don't know. What did you think?
So I'm always wickedly uncomfortable whenever I watch probably 85% of any stand-up routine.
Yeah, right.
Unless, you know, they're the top-notch kind of billers.
Yeah.
Then I'm normally okay.
Like, if you have
okay.
a Netflix special, like, I'm good.
Yes.
I'm not worried. I can get on board.
Exactly. But I cannot tell you, and I'm sure you're in the same boat as me when I say this, I can't tell you how many times I've been to a friend's comedy show, and I'm like, my skin is crawling. Yeah. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm sweating in places I should not be sweating because I am uncomfortable for you.
You're like, should I laugh because no one else is laughing? And then you feel bad and you want to laugh and you're only halfway through your first of like a 2-drink minimum and you're like, oh God.
This is exactly my life. But you want to be supportive. Right. It's a whole thing.
Right.
So watching it, I will give her this. She did nail everyone's personalities and, you know, key phrases and even just accents. They're different accents and lip movements. She did a really good job on that one.
Yeah.
I will say that. But there were some points where I'm like, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're good. We're good.
Well, yeah. And it's like, of all people to do that, I don't feel like Jennifer is maybe established enough as friends with everyone to really be able to do that. And like, I don't know. I keep going back to the roast that we saw on Dallas earlier this season with like at Deandra's 50th and like how well Stephanie did with that. And it's like, I don't know. I think a roast, like Jennifer could have done it a little bit differently and I would have appreciated it. Like if she had just gone around and sort of like served everyone like some kind of like thing, I would have been like, oh, that's funny, you know? But like, oh, I don't know. I'm surprised nobody got mad.
I am so surprised no one got angry.
Do you think Jackie was actually mad and just didn't admit it?
See, that's what I was thinking. Next time she comes in, we have to ask her that, what her actual thoughts were in that moment, because I felt like hers was the harshest. I feel like she really came in on her. Everyone else, it was kind of, you know, lighter things.
Yeah, I mean, she just kept saying, like, Melissa Gorga was just like, I'm so cute, I'm cute. And it's like, selfie, selfie, selfie. And then with Jackie, she's like, I don't want to eat. You know, like, she went right for that sensitive spot where you're kind of like, that was a little bit too far.
I agree.
Right?
Stay away from that kind of stuff. I did appreciate that they threw a glass regardless.
Right. Just for fun. I was like, but the poor staff who has to clean that up, like, or the PA who has to do that. Like, they're just like, whoa, this is fun. I'm like, oh, God.
I was like, those ladies better keep their shoes on.
Right. That's true. No open-toed shoes around that area. Hell no. So actually, the Real Housewives of New Jersey after show premieres this week. And if you guys haven't seen it, there's a really funny teaser that's out already. And it's about how Margaret loves to get naked on these vacations, and not even just on these vacations, but just like always, like Margaret will be naked getting ready. Like she'll just like have no clothes on and she'll just be like doing her hair and everyone else will be like in their robes. And Margaret is just like tits out, cooch out, go. So Megan got the chance to talk with Real Housewives of New Jersey's Jennifer Aiden, and she talked about how she is doing post tummy tuck, which of her cast members have reached out to her after her surgery, and how she would respond if her kids ever asked to get plastic surgery. Plus, she talks more about a potential future in comedy. Here's that interview.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
What do you want to know?
Okay.
Let's see inquiring minds grow.
I know. We have a lot to talk about, and, you know, I've watched ahead, so I feel like I just am bursting at the seams with questions. Okay, first of all, looking back, just watching this season so far, anything you've said that you're like, oh, shit, I wish I hadn't said that?
No. No, I think everything's fantastic so far.
It's okay,
so
great. Great.
There's so much more that I say. Like, at the end of the day, it's so funny how everyone's getting mad at me about telling Jackie what Dolores said verbatim. Like, nobody is highlighting that. It's like, oh, you told... First of all, I asked Dolores point blank. This is a classic case of shooting the messenger. And everyone's like, I started the fight. I didn't start the fight. I like Jackie. I never said I didn't consider her a friend. Do you know what I mean? So, no, if anything, I'm just...
Oh, true. And,
you
know, I know fans are very active on social and you get this like real-time feedback on episodes, but do you ever hear from the other housewives after an episode is aired?
Only Teresa and Dolores. Margaret, Jackie, or Melissa, none of them even reached out to me after my tummy tuck. No text. No, hope you're feeling okay. I got crickets.
Which of those surprises you the most?
Honestly, Margaret.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, even though Margaret and I go back and forth a lot, we both are, we don't hold grudges, both of us. We get over things really easy. And, you know, everybody was so awesome at BravoCon. We all got along so great. And I was loving it. So it was just a little disappointing that I just didn't get a little... you know, text like, hey, know you had your surgery. Hope you're feeling okay.
Well, when you said that just now, what surprised me was, I think, Melissa's lack of reaction or response.
I mean, come on. I mean, Melissa sometimes is very just self-absorbed sometimes, and maybe she just doesn't think about it. Speak more with Teresa and Dolores on a daily basis than I do with the other girls.
So,
and that's not that I wouldn't welcome it. I totally would, you know? I mean, Jackie and I had a great time at BravoCon. I thought everyone looked beautiful. I mean, we were all getting along. We were slapping high fives, and our panel was super packed, and, you know, I just think we'd make such a good team. And for me, the yearning of a friendship with all of them is real, but I can't say the same for all of them.
How did you enjoy BravoCon?
I loved it. I loved it. Are you kidding me? I went on days that I wasn't even assigned to go on. I mean, obviously, I don't know if you heard about my first ever product, my beauty pillow, which was the first time ever available at BravoCon. I created a beauty pillow, which is basically a pillow that you sleep on when you do your lips, lashes, or your eyebrows, because when you get those things done, the aftercare is so important. Not to sleep on your face, not to ruin your lashes. So I came up with this great idea, and I created a beauty pillow. So that, and engage. So I would go for my booth, because we had a booth over at the Bravo Bazaar. So I would go to the booth, and I just talked to fans. Yes, about the pillow, but a lot of the fans were really more concerned with meeting me, and I was welcoming to it. You know, I took pictures of fans, I gave fans hugs, I asked them where they were from. There was even a time when there was a line outside of people waiting in the cold to get in, and one of the people in charge came up to me and said, listen, they've been waiting outside in the cold for an hour. Would you mind just, like, walking the fan line? And I went out there on that line, and I did not leave until I took a picture with every single person who wanted one.
I love that.
Of course, I made sure they wanted me.
Right.
I wanted to make sure they wanted one first. I would come up to them and be like, wait, are you the ones that like me?
Right.
They're like, no, we love you. I said, okay, great. I mean, you know, I'm okay with taking pictures with everybody. And I didn't care how cold it was, because I'm like, if they're out here waiting to come inside and see us, then we have to show them how important they are. And that was my philosophy. So I did not leave until I took a picture, and I asked people where they were from. We had some people that were there from Cali, and I was like, did you have to buy a coat to come here? And they're like, we did. We had to buy a coat. And people did stories, and it was just so rewarding to me being able to make them happy.
I love
that. So that was the highlight for me.
Yeah, and I think it was a great fan experience, and you guys were very busy that weekend for sure.
You really do feel like, oh my god, like I'm like a real celebrity here.
Right,
I mean,
as yeah.
C or D list as it could be, maybe to some people, but hey, I'll take it. You know, I ain't gonna complain. Like, I'm very grateful and appreciative for all of it, because if, you know, at the end of the day, if the fans don't like you, then you're out. Doesn't matter how high that horse is that you're on. You are out.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that I'm always relatable, and that, you know, that it just doesn't give me a big head. I just want to make sure that I always stay true and humble. And, you know, sometimes people don't see that on the show, but this season, I think as it progresses, people are really going to start to get to know me. And I've also been more active on social media with showing my personality. And people are just like, you're a riot. I'm like, I know, right? It's like what I've been trying to say this whole time.
Well,
you know?
I had to wonder, because, you know, with last season being your first season, is there anything that you were sort of keeping in mind going into this season in terms of that fan feedback you got?
Well, what I learned from last season is just, you're damned if you do, and if you're damned if you don't. What's that saying? Wait, you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. So
right.
At the end of the day, stop trying to be someone that you think people want to see.
Yeah.
And start being the person that you are. And that's how I went into the season. Because last season, you have to understand, it's a very interesting transition, because I was very candid about watching the show before. I watched it not for research, but I watched it as a fan, as you know, the typical demographic. I'm a housewife, and it was my guilty pleasure, you know. So I came into this going into a platform with women that I, regardless if I was a fan of them or not, I respected because of their talent and the show that they were on. So I don't want to come in showing my snarky attitudes to everybody. I want people to like me. I was thinking I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And what did it do? It made me look like a braggart. It made me look like I was showing off when that was so not my intention. So I'm like, you know what? I tried so hard to be something that I thought people wanted to see. I'm not going to do that this season. I'm going to be completely myself, and you either like me or you don't, and I'm fine with either.
Well, and I feel like one of the very vulnerable things that you've been sharing this season is your daughter and the struggles she's going through with being bullied at school.
Yes.
And
well, it was happening in real time while we were filming.
Oh, it's very heartbreaking, you know, to watch. I can't imagine how you as a mom or she going through it feels, you know, but are you happy that you've shared this part of your life?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first of all, it is that I always told her, even while we were filming and while she was going through this, I kept telling her all the time after school. And it's heartbreaking because I couldn't do anything about it. I literally, there was at one point where I had a meeting with one of the main girl's mothers. We had a meeting with my daughter and her daughter and another mom and their daughter. And we're all trying to talk, say, like, how can we get these girls back to where they were? Like, what happened that was so bad? And when I saw the girl there not engaging, she was flipping her water bottle, that thing that they do where they flip it on the table to try to, like, make it land on.
Oh, yeah.
And I looked at her and I said, excuse me. I'm like, I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't really seem like you're interested to be here. And if you really don't want to be friends with her, I'd rather you be honest. This is a safe space so that, you know, we just don't waste each other's time. And then the girl was like, yeah, kinda. And as this girl is saying, yeah, kinda, the tears are profusely and unstoppably coming down Gabby's face. She cannot control how sad she is. And when we got in the car, she burst out into an all-out cry. And I cried. And I just told her, I was like, you know what, at this point, like, time is your best friend. That's all. I can't do anything for you. She obviously doesn't want to be your friend. She's going to regret it one day. It's her loss. She made her bed. She's got to lay in it. You got to move on. And, you know, at that time, when you're in middle school, it's all about where you sit at lunch.
Right.
Right? It's like the most stressful thing. And she eventually found another table to sit at. She found a good set of girls. It's not as much as it once was. Like, with these group of girls, they were together nonstop 24/7 since the time that we came to Paramus. This new set of girls, she's not as, like, dependent on them as much, which I actually favor, because then you don't get disappointed, right? And she's actually gravitated a lot more towards her cousins, and she's got one really great best friend. And I keep telling my Gabby all the time, it's quality, not quantity. You don't need to be friends with 5-6 girls. Find one great, awesome girl, call her your bestie, and it'll be like two peas in a pod.
Yeah.
And she's found that. And you know what? She's gotten so much support from the fans. She's had people reaching out to her from her old school saying, like, I know we lost touch, but if you ever wanted to get together, like, that would be cool. And it's giving her confidence. It's like, she's like, Mommy, everybody's being so nice to me. And it's like, I'm like, are you okay with that? And she's like, yeah, I love it. I was like, okay, as long as you love it, I love it.
On a lighter note, there on an episode, your husband reveals a little bit about your sex life to the other husbands.
Yeah.
And says that you guys have sex once a month. What was your reaction to that?
I've been very candid about that with the women too. I mean, listen, we don't time it. So I would say it's on average like once or twice a month, but this is not something that has always been. People have to realize it has evolved to this point. The more kids we have, the less and less, and it's not that we don't want to. I mean, sometimes we like Bill and I, we make a schedule. Like we'll be like, all right, babe, you know, I'm not going to eat a lot tonight. You're not going to eat a lot tonight. We'll put the kids to bed early and we make it date night. But then something will happen and Olivia took a late nap and she's not going to bed anytime soon and she sleeps with us. And then we just look at each other and he's like, you know, we look at each other like with this apologetic look.
Right.
It's not because we don't want to. It's because we got a whole ton of cock blockers in my house, honey.
Exactly. Okay. You guys were in overtime before, and now you have the kids to prove it.
I mean, we had five kids. Yeah. All right. People used to think we were rabbits. Okay. It is not. And you know what? Sex does not define a good marriage. There are marriages out there that could have the best sex every single day of their life, and their partner is an ass. My husband is the whole package. He is my best friend. He is my support. He is my backbone. So you're defining my marriage based on the amount of sex that we have? That's not because we don't want to have sex. It's because I have little children. My daughter is still 6 years old, and I'm trying to get her out of the bed. I even like went so much, like since we've moved into the house, she has not slept in her bedroom once, not even once. She is petrified to sleep alone. How can I let her go to sleep petrified? Mm-hmm. I can't. So what I did this year is this Christmas, we repainted her room. It was pink. I painted it to gender neutral. And I went to my 8-year-old Christian and I said, listen, I really need you to be a big brother to Olivia because she's afraid to sleep alone. And what do you think of the idea if I changed the room to gray and made it really fun that you would share a room with her just so that she has her big brother with her? And he was reluctant to leave his older brother, but he's also petrified to sleep alone. So I was thinking like, hey, you two could sleep together. And honestly, this is something very new. The first night that they slept in the room was literally 3 nights ago. It was the first time I touched them. But do you know how long it took me to leave their room? It takes me 1 hour to leave their room. Like, I'm thinking, let me put them to sleep so that me and Bill can get some alone time. And we say our prayers. She has to brush her teeth. Someone wants a glass of water. No, they want water with ice. So I go downstairs and get it. Then Olivia raises her hand because I'm trying to get out of there. And they just keep saying things. And I'm like, Mom, you're so tired. So by the time I get to my bed, it's 11 o'clock at night. I'm exhausted. And I'm not a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, honey. I need the whole kit and caboodle.
You put in the work.
If I'm trying to be, you know what I mean? I need the work, honey, especially if it's quality as opposed to quantity.
Right.
And Bill's the same way. So I don't feel that our lack of sex defines how great our marriage is because I wouldn't want to have it with any other person.
I'm sure a lot of other couples can relate and appreciate it because I think a lot of people do sort of, I don't know, act like they're living like porn stars at home. And it's like, how could that be? You know, you've been together
It's not realistic. No. But, you know, like, and I've been candid about it on the show as well about our sex life. It's not as, but listen, at the end of the day, my husband, I take care of him, honey. Okay.
Yeah, I believe you.
we may not get sex, but if I know that he's in the mood and he needs something, we'll just like scoot over either to the pool house or the bathroom for 15 minutes. And I kind of do my thing and I put him to sleep, if you know what I mean. And he goes and he takes a nap and I go into the kitchen like nothing's ever happened. So my man gets taken care of.
Nice.
It may not be the sex that you think, but I definitely put him to bed.
Yeah.
And that's what I'll say about that.
Well,
and you know what? A lot of wives don't even do that anymore.
It's true.
Hey, so, okay. People, some guys are like only on their birthdays or special occasions. Nuh-uh. When my man's in the mood and I can't come through with the whole package, I was like, all right, baby, let's take a 15-minute break to the bathroom until you good. And then I'll go back like nothing ever happened.
Amazing.
And we make do. I mean, listen, we have to make do at where we are at this chapter in our lives. My kids are 6, 8, 10, 12, and my 15-year-old, it has become a habit of his to come into my room every single night to kiss us and say goodnight. And it's anywhere between 10 p.m. and midnight. Do you know how nerve-wracking that is? to know that at any, it's become his routine. He comes in every night, like clockwork, somewhere between 10 p.m. and 12 p.m. He walks into our room and he goes, "Oh, hey, just wanted to give you a hug and kiss goodnight." How can I sit here and think about having sex with my husband knowing that my 15-year-old can walk in? And I'm sorry, past midnight, I turn into a pumpkin. I go to sleep. It's just too much. I got to be up in the morning. I got a long day. I got to get my kids to school. You know, it's just always, it's life that gets in the way. It's not us.
Totally.
But that's one of the reasons why Bill and I make a point to travel just with ourselves once a year. Every year, him and I take our own one-week vacation without the kids, where we get back to basics, where it's all about us, where it's like holding hands and watching movies and comfortable silence. Okay, when you could be comfortable with someone and not say a word for hours and just know that it's okay, that to me is a good marriage. Not like you're banging like rabbits.
So, you know, I've watched all of the Real Housewives franchises over the years, and I feel like one theme that always comes up is plastic surgery. And I know, talking to all the housewives, how much criticism you guys face, because like you said, if you do, you're damned.
Right, you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't.
So I have to wonder, what kind of feedback have you been getting being so open about your plastic surgery?
Well, some fans are loving it. Some fans are obviously thinking, I should have married a plastic surgeon. That's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
A lot of other people are like, you know, don't. But you know what people don't understand? It's like, you have to do, listen, you only get one shot at this life, and it goes by in the blink of an eye. If you're not happy with something, change it. And I know that's like a hard concept to grasp. People think it's so easy, like, oh, I'll just change it and change it. Do you know how many mommy makeover consultations we've given and how many haven't bitten the bullet to actually go through it? This is like a major decision. But I find that once people go through it, for the most part, people are usually happy that they've done it. They're like, oh, what was I waiting for, kind of thing. But I'm also the wife of a plastic surgeon. This is my husband's business. It's what put food on the table. So if I can't be candid about it, then how can I be an example for other women? You know, and if I could show that I could have it done and be like, there's nothing wrong with it, maybe other women will be like, hey, like if she could be so open and honest about it and she's on TV, why can't I? You know, maybe I'll go for that consultation. Or, you know, I've been answering a lot of questions to the fans. A lot of women are interested in the tummy tuck. They're telling me how they work out, and no matter what they do, they cannot get rid of that pouch. And they will never get rid of that pouch. No matter how many sit-ups you do, if that is diastasis and that is your trauma from your pregnancies, the only way to get rid of that is with surgery.
So if your kids came to you and said they wanted plastic surgery, what would your reaction be?
I would hope they're adults by the time they come to me and ask me that. But I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. Yes, absolutely. I mean, obviously, they have to be making a smart decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, my sister had a nose job at 16 years old. It wasn't an elective procedure. Her nose, she had a very big nose growing up, and she played softball in high school, and her nose got crushed and shattered at 16.
Ugh.
So she had to fix it. And while she was under, she got a nose job.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're all for plastic surgery. I'm for it. Yeah.
So do you think 16?
I mean, I would tell my daughter, like, if I thought she needed it or if she didn't need it.
Right.
And listen, I am the wife of a plastic surgeon. I even told Margaret, I saw her body, like she was wearing something form fitting. And I'm like, you know, I said, you're so beautiful. Your body's so beautiful. I was like, if you ever wanted to just contour your saddlebag, I was like, I would totally hook you up. You know, like there's nothing wrong with your body. Like, but you would be the perfect candidate for just a little liposuction here. And I think she turned around. She was like, oh, Jennifer made a thing of it. But it was like a compliment. I was telling you, she was just so naturally beautiful, you know? And I just, so I tell people when I think they need plastic surgery, but that's only because I'm trying to sell it, girl. It's my business.
I get that. Yeah, do you get a referral fee? You should.
I mean, I wouldn't tell someone they need a nose job.
Right.
That I wouldn't do.
I'm curious if everyone would agree. You know, I think it's like hard. It's a hard conversation for some
right,
people.
Right, but I guess they got to understand the environments that I'm coming from. It's around me all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's become like second nature and my normal. So to me, it's second nature. Someone else, it may be very, very taboo. But I guess it's just like, hey, if you're a journalist, you're going to think that some questions are appropriate where I may think they're not, right?
You know, that's a fair point.
You'll ask a question that you think is appropriate yeah. where I may think it's not.
Right.
But that's not my business. I don't know about it. You're in it. So I'm in a life where plastic surgery is constantly around me, whether I'm stopping by the office for something. So to me, it's my normal conversation.
Totally.
To someone else, they may be like, oh my God, is she so disgusting talking about it? But it's my business. It's what I've been in for the last 10 years.
Right. Well, thank you so much for your time. I know you have to go.
Me too. I loved it too. It was so much fun.
All right. Let's do it again later
this
season.
I'm not funny. Land the plane.
Okay. Have a good rest of your day.
You too, sweetie. You too.
Bye.
All right, Real Housewives of Orange County.
First off, have you ever been to Key West?
No.
Okay. So they went to the Hemingway House. I went to Key West about 2 years ago with my mom, did a long weekend there. We had so much fun. Took my mom to her first drag brunch.
Oh my
ever.
God.
Yes.
Basically this trip.
Yeah, it was awesome. But the Hemingway House, they kind of show it a little bit on the show, but they have polydactyl cats. So they have an extra finger, basically. And their hands look like baseball mitts.
I mean, they just live in the house?
They live in the house. Okay. Yeah. So Hemingway, they call them Hemingway cats. That's the breed.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have extra fingers. They live in the house. They have about like 60 plus that live on the ground.
My God.
And they all have actors or actresses of the 1950s names. So
oh
it's like
God.
Lucille Ball and Lucille Ball.
Greta something.
Gene Kelly.
Right,
like
right.
It's so cute. It's so cute. But
that's adorable.
They should have gotten their own moment in the show other than smacking Emily.
Well, yeah, there was like only one or two brief shots, I think, of the cats. I don't
yeah.
think I quite realized there were that many on the premises.
So
it's wild.
Many.
Speaking of Hemingway, Kelly loving him
yeah.
is completely unexpected, but so delightful. Like I was like, whoa, all of a sudden, like not to say anything about Kelly, but like that all of a sudden a very like intellectual moment that I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
She is full of surprises.
She is.
I know Ernest Hemingway as being a great American writer.
Wasn't he like friends with Picasso and all those?
That was originally made by Pablo Picasso.
He's a womanizer. I've heard he had a big, big dick daddy. That's what I heard.
That Hemingway's got pretty eyes.
What's your favorite Hemingway book?
For Whom the Bells Toll.
I appreciate Kelly more and more as we go on this journey of this season because I feel like she has completely changed as an individual throughout this entire season, and we're seeing it more and more as these episodes go on.
Yeah, that's true.
She started off, you know, hitting Shannon in the head with
right.
the mallet, and now she's working her way going to therapy, and now she's learning more about how to manage her anger, and kudos to her for,
yeah.
you know, pointing it out, realizing it, and trying to change it, because that's more than most people will do.
Right. No, that's very true. I mean, another thing that I'm really appreciating over the course of this season is the light shade that Emily has been throwing at Vicky, especially in the last couple of episodes. So there was the whole thing about her ring being like, damn, Vicky sold a lot of insurance to buy herself a ring. Okay, so that was one. When they're in the Hemingway house, there's the whole wall of Ernest Hemingway's wives. And she's like, Vicky should make one of these for her husband.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God, number two.
Vicky can make a wall of husbands.
And then also in this episode, she references like, oh, you know, I remember just like being a freshman and all of the senior girls, you were always so afraid of them. They were such like bullies, whatever. And then she was like, and now it's just the senior citizens. And I was like, oh my God. Cause you know, Emily does hang out with Vicky and they are friends and they've done things like off camera together. So I was sort of like kind of surprised
yeah.
that Emily was being so shady towards Vicky. But also it's just like kind of so easy to do that. You know, it's like pretty easy to make fun of Vicky. So I just appreciate that. So Kelly has her own version of growth and Emily has her own version of like getting really good at throwing shade.
Yeah.
That's also part of being a housewife, you know?
It's true. one of my notes, it says, I do appreciate Kelly and Emily's friendship. No matter what happens, I feel like Emily's the one that goes over to Kelly and is just like, think about it this way.
Yeah. Seeing them go to the anger management class. And first of all, Dr. Mike Dow is super hot and I love him. And I want to go to the beach and like meditate with him also.
How OC was that though?
I know. He was like, oh, I figured we would come here today and just like sit on the beach and like learn and like meditate. I was like, of course. Is so Southern California. But yeah, I love that they had that they had the moment together. And also what kind of bothered me is the fact that the other women were sort of making fun of them, like behind their backs about going to anger management. Like, oh, like one class is going to fix this whole problem. And it's sort of like, well, they're taking the necessary steps to address their anger issues. And so like maybe give them a little bit of credit because they're trying.
One session with an anger person? You think that's going to cure Kelly Dodd's switch? Yeah. Okay, let's all keep our head in La La Land.
Kelly obviously lashes out more to the other women, but Emily is lashing out at home. So, like, yeah, they might be seeing it more of Kelly because it's happening to them. But, you know, give them a little bit of credit. They're both trying to fix something that they recognize as something that needs improvement.
And that's a hard thing to do, to realize there's something in your personality that is not working and admitting you need help. You need someone else to go to you and tell you how you should handle these different situations and teach you coping skills. That's a big deal.
Right. And it's not a sign of weakness.
No.
It's actually a sign of the opposite, that you're strong enough to know, like, I need to fix this in my life. So props to you, Kelly. Props to you, Emily.
Yes.
I don't know if there's any real progress being made in Tamara's family at the moment.
Oh my goodness.
Because that whole scene made me very uncomfortable.
It made me really sad.
Right?
Because here you have two different kids going through two different stages of their lives.
Yeah.
But they're very similar in many ways, but they don't see the similarities in the issues that they're going through at this time.
Yeah.
Granted, they might have different political views or views on life and different upbringings, but you know, Spencer seems like he is going through that stage in your life where he's not really sure who he is.
He's dying. Still very young.
He's still very young. He just went through his first breakup. And Ryan, again, he's a little bit older, but he doesn't seem like he really knows who he is either.
Yeah.
And neither of them feel comfortable enough to express that and talk to Tamara about it.
Yeah.
Because their family, as she said before, doesn't really like to express emotions.
Yeah, and even just like the way she kind of recapped it in her interview where she was just sort of like, Spencer's not talking to his father, Ryan's not talking to his father, my daughter's not talking to me, like, we're a mess.
Yeah.
And like when she said it like that, I was like, damn, I was like, this is a really sad situation. And regardless of your political views, regardless of how you feel about Tamara, like that whole situation is just really sad to watch.
Yeah, it's hard. And I think how it wrapped up of Spencer kind of changing the subject into a Game of Thrones reference and Tamara, you know, just getting even more upset. And I think Ryan's the one that's like, this is why nothing ever gets resolved.
Right.
So how about season 8 of Game of Thrones?
See, this is how we deal with things.
I think that was the hardest to watch because Tamara is really trying to kind of be the middle person between these two people.
Yeah. Two people that she loves unconditionally because they're her children.
Exactly. And nothing's really getting through to either of them.
Yeah. I think everybody's a little bit stubborn, maybe, too. And it's Spencer's age. It might be just a trait that Ryan has taken on as a defense mechanism. You know, I think there is a lot that needs to be worked through, but I guess maybe what we saw were some baby steps.
Yeah.
We can only hope.
They were in the same room together.
Right. And Tim was like, surprise, Ryan's coming over. And he's like already in the room.
Yeah.
And then he launches into like the alcoholic thing. I'm like, oh boy, this is off to a bad start.
Yep.
Knowing what we know now, how crazy is it to hear Gina kind of wholeheartedly talk about potentially getting back together with Matt?
Wild. I wonder what Gina thinks about her comments in these episodes now versus when she was going through it.
Yeah.
Because it's a complete turn.
I mean, I think Gina is looking back on this season with a lot of like, wow, I've come a long way.
She has. Yes.
What did I do with my hair? Like, what was I thinking in regards to getting back with Matt? You know, where she is in her life right now seems so very far from these moments that we're seeing on screen. And it really has been, what, you know, 5-6 months? You know, it hasn't been that much of time, but I think Gina's made a lot of progress since then. She has a new boyfriend. She fixed her hair. You know, like, things seem to be a lot better for Gina now. So, yeah, it must be just so crazy to look back on these episodes for her being like, I can't believe I thought that. Like, yeah. What was I thinking?
But also, Gina with short hair is everything.
I know. She should really consider that more often.
It looks so cute. There's she has also, such a good face.
There's also pictures of her that have gone around on, like, Instagram of when she was a brunette. Like, when she graduated high school, I think it was, she had really dark brown hair, and it looked really good. I'm telling you, maybe Emily doesn't need to be the only brunette on the cast.
Ooh.
I'm just saying.
Short and brunette.
Real Housewives of Atlanta.
This episode. Oh, my Atlanta.
I mean, I feel like this is the exact episode that made me really, really appreciate that this franchise is back on.
It was so good. Before we get into the Marlowe wig party drama. Fair. Who do you think leaked the video of Cynthia talking bad about NeNe?
Giovanna.
I was that bitch. I was Giovanna from Clark. C-A-U.
I don't care what anyone says. I feel like just because Candy brought it up and she said no doesn't mean that it wasn't her. Because we don't know Giovanna super well at this point, but she is not to be trusted.
No.
You know what I mean? And even just her denying it, like, I don't know her super well, but I felt like in that moment she was not being super honest. And I'm very glad that Candy just straight up asked her, because, like, Candy knows. She's been around. She knows how this shit works. And she was just like, yo, be honest.
But when I talked to NeNe, she said that somebody had played her some recording of Cynthia that was, like, a mutual friend. And so I just wanted to make sure that you weren't the spy.
No, I ain't no spy. No, not at all.
But, like, if Cynthia hadn't been sitting right there, what would Giovanna have said?
Yeah, I think it would have been a different story. I think she has too much of an allegiance to NeNe that it could be Giovanna.
100%.
Because what are you going to do in that situation? Giovanna knows that most of these women are not fans of NeNe at the moment. Yeah. And if someone is talking bad about her, and Cynthia has been around Giovanna for, you know, a few parties that we've seen, I don't know.
I mean,
think all signs point to her.
There were only two suspects that Cynthia had identified, yeah. And she was, like, the prime.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was Marlowe. I don't think Marlowe would pull any of that kind of shit. I really don't.
No.
And I think Marlowe would have already brought that out at this point.
I think Marlowe would have straight up said it.
Yeah.
I think she would have, you know, in the right scenario, she would have been like, well, Cynthia was saying this about you and not record it behind her back.
Right.
Because Marlo is, you know, when she knows things, she shows things.
100%. 100. And the thing about Giovanna, too, is just a few episodes ago, she told us she had the receipts.
Yes.
And so for her to already kind of admit that, and then for all of this to be playing out, and then her to deny it, it just looks very suspicious to me.
But I did like her dress at the party.
I did too, actually. I thought she looked pretty good. speaking of NeNe, when NeNe goes out to lunch with Candy, she approaches the allegations against Dennis in the way that I wanted someone to approach them. Like, it comes up very early on in the season about, like, these bestiality, whatever, but I needed NeNe's commentary on it. So some of the lines that I wrote down that were my favorite were, was he sleeping with pets? First of all, and then she said, you have checked in at PetSmart. And I was just like, oh my, I was like, NeNe, yes. And I could not control myself.
So was he, like, sleeping with pets?
Girl, that's what the internet said. I don't know about that.
Not sleeping with pets, like watching them have sex.
There I go. Believe that.
Bestiality? Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what they said, but I don't believe it.
When I started, I was like, damn, Portia need a rabies shot?
Oh, my God.
You have to check in the PetSmart.
Because I wanted someone to really just lean into it and make such fun of it that, like, you have to realize that there's no way it can be true.
It is such a ridiculous claim.
It's so ridiculous. And even Candy is like, I don't know anything about that. It was on the blogs. I cannot speak to any more of that. So just knowing that, like, Nene was poking fun at it, it is a little weird because her relationship with Portia is kind of strained, is very strained yeah. at the moment. But, you know, Nene has been a bit of a tough person in these last couple of seasons. And I just appreciated that sense of humor because that's what we all know and love yes. about her. So I was happy to see her laughing and making jokes.
Those
like
gif-able
that.
Moments.
Exactly. It's so true.
I did like hearing more about Greg's health and the updates about that.
Yeah.
That's great. Especially after last season of everything that they went through health-wise.
I know.
To hear that he has made pretty much a full recovery.
Yeah.
Is insane.
I know. I mean, it's great. I mean, we love Greg. We stan. We want him to be healthy mm-hmm. and happy. We want them both to be happy. I mean, we're going to see how their relationship unfolds over the rest of the season. But that was also a big part of last season's storyline, not just his health, but the impact that that had on their relationship that was already struggling.
Yeah.
So I am curious to know and peel back some of those layers and figure out exactly what's going on in their relationship. I also totally forgot about those texts that Nene had sent Portia that Portia had posted on Instagram. I remember when that happened at the time and it was like, holy shit, like these two are going at it. This is messy. This is ugly. This is not good. But then I think they all got deleted and I kind of like, we all like moved past it. But then now we're seeing how that all came about on the show.
Yeah.
It was post reunion. Very tough time for the two of them. And very tough time when they see each other at the wig party. Like, Portia totally turns the cold shoulder and is just like, I'm not even going to address her.
But, you know, in her defense, I did like how she handled the scenario.
Yep.
Because it's very hard to be in a room with someone that you do not like. Because you can either, you have like three options, right? You can either, you know, be sort of a doormat and say hi. You can, you know, be a total bitch. Or you can just not even react
right.
and not show any emotion.
Disengage.
And I kind of appreciated that, especially everything that kind of played out.
Yeah.
I think,
well,
that was the right option.
It's funny too to watch Nene go down the line because you see her go to Tanya and you're like, well, she and Tanya didn't do so well last season and I don't know where they're at. And then you see her go to Cynthia and you're like, well, she's kissing Cynthia on the cheek, but the two of them are not very good also at the moment. And then, you know, Portia turns the cold shoulder. It's kind of like, well, who does Nene have outside of Marlo and Yovana in this moment who's sort of on her side? You know, I mean, Candy is a little bit of a more diplomatic person mm-hmm. in the situation. She and Nene have kind of, you know, worked through whatever their issues may have been. Obviously, Nene and Kenya, no friggin' way. But it's just like, it. Yeah, I mean, you kind of see everyone handle it a little bit differently. And Portia's the one who's just sort of like, not today. Not today. Okay, so Kenya storming the wig party.
Oh my God.
What are your thoughts?
Okay. Did I think that was very shady? Yes.
100%.
Now, did I think that was a legendary and iconic moment? And I'm proud of her for taking that moment and coming in like that? 1000%.
Right.
I was like Portia cackling that she just came on in, marching band and all, with her product, giving it out for free. Because
two people marching yeah. band. Okay.
But like, she came, I don't even know if Marlo was giving out free products.
So here's the thing, like, I 100% do think she did it to be shady. What is even worse, and just like the side of Kenya that I think people tend to dislike, is that she can't necessarily be honest about yeah. the fact that she was being shady. And she was like, oh no, I'm doing it to be a businesswoman. Like, yeah, it was actually a very smart move. Should she have contacted Marlo in advance and asked to collaborate or have like something set up at the event? For sure. But earlier on in the episode, we saw her go to a meeting and she's like, oh, we just expanded into 2,200 stores, Sally Beauty stores nationwide. Like, yes, our business is growing. So obviously she didn't need Marlo's wig party.
No.
For like promotion and all of that kind of stuff. So it's a little bit like, all right, you know, and then she's, if she could just own it a little bit more that she did it to be shady, because we all know, like, we know you, Kenya. Everybody here knows you. We know that you did this to be shady.
Yeah.
So I wanted her to own it a little bit more in that moment, but I really do agree with you that it was an amazing moment for the show.
Do you think, because earlier in the episode, we saw that Marlo called Portia and invited her to the party. Portia put it on speakerphone and was yep. just like, oh, I'll come to the party, but also Kenya's sitting right next to me. So does she get an invite? Do you think that Marlo would have invited Kenya to the party if Kenya wasn't sitting next to Portia with her on speakerphone?
I doubt it, but I also wouldn't be surprised because I think Megan and I talked about it last week. I think that Marlo is like an equal opportunity shader. Like she will shade anyone if she needs to. She will read anyone for filth. But she always brings it back to the, like, we are strong, we are beautiful women, like, we are together, like, we got this, we are boss bitches. You know, she always puts everyone kind of back on an equal playing field, which I have always appreciated about Marlo. But, you know, I think there would have been a group text that Kenya was a part of. And I think she was a part of the group text that everybody got, because even Eva was invited.
Yeah.
And so I think, and obviously, you know, it's a product that she's launching. She wants all the support she can get. She wants any Instagram posts that might come from Kenya's followers. You know, who knows? But I think Kenya took that invitation and really kind of manipulated the way she decided to receive it.
Yeah.
So to speak.
So at the party, there was like a little contest between Nene and Portia to style the wig faster. Yes. I do have to say, flat iron curls are the hardest thing ever.
Are they? I don't know.
Okay. So it is a straightener and you literally just have to like twist it the right way.
Yeah.
And it will eventually make like a cute little beachy wave in your hair. But if you don't move it the right way,
yeah,
it turns into this very weird dented look.
Which is not the look you're going for.
No, no, not at all. And if you continue to go over that piece of hair, as I've learned, you just turn into Hermione Granger.
It just gets
and
worse.
It's just frizzier and frizzier, and then you eventually burn your hair. So,
oh my God.
They are a very interesting technique, and I still want to learn how to do that.
And obviously, I don't think either one of them really was able to pull it off. It was cute in concept, like, but poor in execution,
yes.
I think.
Portia looks beautiful with blonde hair, though.
I love Portia in blonde.
Yeah, me too.
I think she looks so great. Gives me like Beyonce vibes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or maybe like Solange, which she has already said. People say I look like Solange.
She does look like Solange.
And it's one of my favorite moments from like the seasons ago when Kenya is like, everybody always mistakes me for Beyonce. And everyone's like, And then Candy goes, oh yeah, I see you kind of look like Solange to Portia. And Portia's like, uh-huh. And then she's like, that makes y'all sisters. And Portia's like, I will emancipate myself from the family.
But look at them now.
I look at them now.
10-year challenge.
One thing I will say, too, that I really appreciate about this episode is I thought Marlo was handling the whole situation very, very well. And then she did my favorite thing, which is pulling a Karen Huger and calling security.
Yeah.
And just, like, getting her taken out.
Security, where is my security? Hello?
Security from what?
Kenya out, please.
I have it written down. Like, as soon as she came in, she was so chill. She was just like, yep, this is happening. This is what's up. As soon as Kenya gets a drink, she snatched that out of her hand and was like, hello, security, come on over and take her out. Which I think she handled it in the right situation there, because here you are, you're promoting your business.
Right.
You don't know who's there. There probably are beauty bloggers. There's probably, you know, some possible investors. You know, you never know who's going to show up in these kind of things. So how she handled it, I thought, was very professional.
Yeah.
And but maybe stay off the mic that you're screaming for security.
Yeah, she held that mic a little bit longer than she necessarily needed to. And I will say, I think she also took some of Kenya's products. So
yeah, she did.
I mean.
So towards the end of the party, Nene just decides that this is not where she needs to be, which was very reminiscent of LVP last season of Bev Hills.
Yeah, no, it's very true. Just kind of getting up, excusing themselves from the situation. This is not my life. This is not what I do. It's very true. I mean, Yovana went and chased her, banging on the window of her Maserati or whatever she's driving.
It's a great
and it's
car.
Like, are you kidding me? Don't be banging on that window. Like, Nene was like, hell no, don't you be doing that. She's like, no way. Your ring's going to crack the glass.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. But yeah, you know, it's better to walk away sometimes than cause a scene. I don't think she wanted to cause a scene. There was already a scene being caused.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she wanted to escalate it any further and excuse herself. So, you know, I guess that's good.
Yeah. Do you think she is done with the ladies of Atlanta?
I think she has a lot of work to do to get in a better place with everybody, but I don't know if she wants to do that work.
Yeah.
It seems like she might not want to. And I know there's a lot more to come this season, and I think she and Cynthia do get back to a better place in their friendship, and I hope that they can. But, you know, it does take work. Any relationship takes work. So I hope that Nene is willing to put it in and isn't just going to let all of this, like, I'm done, I'm not dealing with this, no, goodbye. You know, she can't do that every single time.
Let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, what was your rose?
Okay, mine was from Project Runway. There is a woman on the show right now. She's a contestant. She's 64 years old. She's from Philadelphia, which is where, you know, the similar area is me. So right. Like, woo woo. She decided that at 58, she was just going to quit her job, go back to school at Drexel. What's up, Philly Pie? And pursue fashion full time. And now here she is. She's like, had a runway show at Philly Fashion Week, has like collaborated with a bunch of cool people, has really like created this career for herself later in life. And I'm like, yes, it's never too late to pursue your dreams.
Yeah.
So like, let's go, Nancy. I hope this season is really good to you.
Oh, Nancy, we're rooting for you.
I know.
I love that. I mean, it is important to remember that always, that like it's never over.
Yeah.
There's always a chance to do something you've always wanted to do.
My mom texted me because my mom and I absolutely love Project Runway because we get to see the episodes before they're actually on air. So she'll text me when the episode's actually live and kind of like live text me her thoughts on everyone.
Oh my God.
And as soon as Nancy came up, my mom was like, see, it's not late for me, because my mom is a huge seamstress and designer and like loves to make her own outfits and outfits for me and tries to sell like baby clothes to her friend's children.
Oh my God.
And she's like, she's inspired by this. And I was like, my mom and Nancy, I love you guys.
Let's get her on next season.
I know, right?
Oh my God.
Let's go, Mama Harley.
Designers, go.
And if you didn't know, there is now a Project Runway after show where Christian Siriano sits down with the eliminated designer to talk about, you know, what happened, their design, their thoughts on the whole elimination. It's available after the episode every Thursday night on BravoTV.com and Bravo's YouTube channel. So you'll definitely want to check that out.
My rose was from Real Housewives of Dallas, and it was the romantic poolside getaway that Stephanie planned for Brandy. Because I just love the two of them. I love how playful and silly they are and how genuine and authentic their friendship is. And everything that Brandy is going through with, you know, Bruin's other sibling and like, should we adopt? And then everything with her daughter, you know, Brandy's been having a rough go of it this season with everything she's dealing with at home. So I appreciate someone like Stephanie for, you know, for her taking the time out of this trip that she's planned, all the drama that's going on. She takes a moment to just make Brandy feel special. And I feel like everyone needs someone like Stephanie in their life to do something like that, you know?
Brandy's laugh is everything, though.
Oh my God, it made me so uncomfortable, to be honest. I was like, is that Brandy's laugh? Is that Stephanie's laugh? Like, who is laughing like this strange sound? All right, what was your thorn?
I have to say, my thorn goes to Tanner this week. Because first, he's going around telling his crew that he went down on Simone, which, first of all, you do not kiss and tell. And I know it's a really tricky situation because you're working with the people that you're also hanging out with and now dating.
Right.
Kind of.
Is he like staking his claim? Yeah. Like nobody else can go down on her, you know, I guess.
Lick it, don't touch it. It's a hard situation because those people are also your friends. But at the same time, do not kiss and tell, because then it goes back to Simone. Riley tells Simone. Simone gets upset that he's spreading it around. And then later in the day when they go to this pool club, he proceeds to dance with one of the go-go dancers. And not just like cute, playful dance. Grinding. Grinding. And I know Simone was just like, you know what? I'm cool with it. Tanner, you go over. You live your best life.
Right.
You live your truth. But it was one of those situations that I was like, baby, what is you doing?
Yeah.
You know when a woman says they're okay with it and it's about to be something that is stupid and sexual, they are not okay with
it. Well, I don't think he knows that. I don't think maturity is his strong suit.
No.
And we've seen it since the beginning of the season. He's like 26 years old. He kept calling Kate like his aunt, you know, like his hot aunt that he wanted to sleep with. Like, he just does not have it together as many 26-year-old males don't have it together. But like, come on, bro. But, you know, Simone, She can do better.
She can.
She will do better.
She has like so many degrees and can speak right. a bunch of different languages.
Yeah, she's good. She's yeah. good. She should let him go down on her whenever she wants.
Yes, on your timeline.
On her time, and then the rest of it, whatever.
Yeah. What was your thorn?
My thorn also comes from Real Housewives of Dallas, and it was at the beginning of the episode and kind of what triggered the entire fight at dinner and everything that unfolded between Leanne and Cameron, and it was Leanne using Cam's reputation against her after the fact that they already went to the ping pong show and it was sort of too late.
Cameron, going to the red light district is not something that is acceptable in Dallas society. I mean, can you imagine if we all saw Laura Bush walking out of an all nudie bar? It's the same thing.
To do that to Cameron and make her feel guilty and then make her think like, oh my God, what is going to happen when I get back to Dallas? Like, it's just an uncomfortable situation for anyone to be in. And I'm not someone who's from like society and all of that sort of stuff. So I can't even imagine what like was going through her head. But if Leanne genuinely was concerned for Cameron's reputation, she probably would have brought it up prior to the ping pong show.
I agree.
But I think she saw a way to really get in and get Cameron like upset, and she went for it, you know, and maybe it was because she was hurt and all of that sort of stuff. And we understand, you know, Leanne has an issue with the ping pong show and all that, but the way she kind of manipulated Cameron.
Hurt people.
I know, it's so true. And just, you know, I felt bad for Cameron in that moment because I think she really was like, I didn't even realize it. Like, I didn't put it all together until after the fact.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. It's going to be a good reunion.
Oh, Lord. So next week, we're going to be talking to the senior vice president of current production here at Bravo. His name's Noah Sampton, and he works on shows like Real Housewives of New Jersey, Below Deck, and the future Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. So you know that interview is going to be great, and he's going to have a lot of tea to spill to us. So I'm really excited. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.